We talk a lot about COVID, but the other big story in New Zealand, significant story, is the drought. Farmers in Hawke's Bay are continuing to battle extremely dry conditions, and that's not the only area of the country where people are suffering. Some are calling it the worst drought in living memory, with very little rainfall since October last year. I'm joined now by 32-year-old Hadley Boyle from Te Kukino in central Hawke's Bay. Hi, Hadley.
Hi, Jeffy.
Thanks for your time today. Tell us a bit about your farm.
So we farm sort of the Ruahini side of Te Kukino there. We farm Simmental, stud cattle, South African Angora goats, and still have a few Romney sheep floating around the hills.
How do the Angora goats go?
They're very well. It's something quite different to New Zealand. We're averaging sort of $21 a kg at the moment for their fibre, and they put 5 kgs a year of fibre for us. So, yeah, very nice, sustainable product, I see, for New Zealand.
And I've got to say, you're probably younger than most of the farmers I chat to on this show, so maybe I'll ask, you know, can your dad ever remember a drought like this?
So Dad sort of compares it a little bit to the 83, he puts it far worse than the 83 now. We're looking at records now that go back to 1918, which would be sort of a comparable year, given I think that was the year of the Spanish flu. So I guess quite
by chance
with COVID as well. So
how does this drought affect you on a day-to-day basis in the farm?
So we've basically been feeding out ever since last winter. So that time that's been sucked up on keeping feed up to animals.
Can you explain feeding out to people?
Sorry, what was it?
Can you explain that term, feeding out?
Basically we store excess feed from our spring growth or our autumn growth for times when we're a bit short, which generally sort of the height of summer and the into winter where the grass doesn't grow quite as fast or up at all. All our supplements that we sort of managed to save from spring we used up before February this year. So we didn't have any extra feed to sort of keep cattle going. All our capital stock, like our in-calf cows and ewes that would be taken through for our sort of future generations of stock, we've sort of kept to them and been bringing in feed from as far south as Ashburton. Looking at feed sort of all around the North Island, which is quite uncommon for a normal year.
Yeah, and I interrupted you. I think you were saying that's one of the downsides is the time it takes you to do that.
Yeah, so I mean, when you're driving around on the tractor, feeding this feed out to your stock, I mean that sort of sucks up a good part of your day. So then other tasks that need to be done, like fencing and even all our legislative stuff that we've got to get on and do before the end of May, that all takes a sidestep because at the end of the day our stock comes first and everything else is second to that.
When was the last time you saw a good rainfall?
The last time we saw a good rainfall was about November last year.
Holy moly.
We've had a few little 3 mils and 4 mils and it's gotten to the point where we're just about measuring it in the half mil. It's been pretty dire. I got a little bit excited the other day when I tipped out 10 mils, but then later found out that my garden sprinkler had a wee bit to do with that.
That might have been a bit disheartening, Hadley.
It was. I mean, there's a little bit of joy there to start with, and I mean, that's always nice to have for a fleeting moment. When my father told me no, we only had 3.5. Got a bit ahead of myself.
Yeah. And how hard is it working the farm at the moment?
At the moment, just because you're feeding out, we're trying to do a few other jobs as well. We're basically sort of working 12 to 14 hour days, 7 days a week. It makes things pretty tough on sort of your social life and your sort of family life as well.
Yeah. Who have you got in your family, by the way?
So I'm living out on the farm with my partner, Sam. And then my mother and father also live on the property. And my brother sort of chips in with a bit of help here and there as well.
So have there been times where you've just decided that you've got to basically get rid of cattle, get rid of stock?
Yeah, so we've been trucking stock recently, so we've sent away 40 cows today to the processors, and then we've got another 30 booked in for next week. We have had a few issues with the meatworks not processing at full capacity, so we've been held over a couple of extra weeks, which it sort of adds to the pain a little bit because you're then chewing into feed for the rest of your stock. So instead of, say, losing 40 or 50 because they're on your farm for an extra couple of weeks, you end up having to lose 70 to 80 to make that feed up in preparation for your winter.
And how does it affect for people who've got no idea how the sort of financials work on a farm? How does this affect your revenue and your financial position?
Yeah, so financial position isn't too bad. I mean, we're very lucky with fourth generation farms. I'm a fourth generation farmer on this farm, and we've been able to slowly chip away at our sort of bank debt. But this year we're going to be ramping that up a fair bit. We won't be making much. It'll be more of a loan year than an income year.
And they talk about COVID-19 being a 1 in 100 year event. Sounds like you're going through a different sort of a 1 in 100 year event at the moment.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things. I mean, the climate's forever changing. As farmers, we're sort of well aware of that. We have very wet summers. The last two previous have been relatively kind to us. 2013 was another drought year, but we managed through that all right. Climate change for us is a given. There's no doubt in our minds that it's a thing. And it's just one of those things that we prepare for and prepare for as best we can. But yeah, 1 in 100 year event, it's very hard to sort of, get everything in place to be fully prepared for something like that.
Lots of money being splashed around yesterday. Was there anything or has there been anything from the government that's interested you or been of use to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, we saw that they sort of dished out a wee bit of money to pay for consultants to tell us how to prepare for droughts. To me, that was a wee bit of a smack in the face because we know how to farm for droughts. We do prepare for them. Like I said, it's very hard to prepare for a 1 in 100 year event. And then to say it's a relief package for us is a wee bit sort of misleading as well, because that sort of advice that those consultants would be giving would be for future events. That doesn't quite help us out now, but could sort of help people who are new to farming in the future. Beef and Lamb and Fonterra also do sort of a free feed budgeting service. It's sort of replicating that a little bit. I'm sure it's a wee bit more in depth than what Beef and Lamb and Fonterra are providing, but
it doesn't help today.
Yeah, it doesn't help today, it won't help us through the winter. Really, what would have been ideal if they could have organised sort of feed coming in from the South Island and helped out with the transport costs of that. It is what it is, and we make do as best we can day by day.
Hey, what's this I see on the Hawke's Bay Drought Facebook page? There's a nude challenge.
Oh, yes. Poppy Renton has really sort of kicked things off there. It's something I'm going to get round to. I haven't quite found the time and the willing photographer to take a picture yet.
And that's just a bit of fun, is it? Keep people's spirits up.
Yeah, I mean, the mental health of farmers is definitely taking a bit of a beating at the moment. I mean, we've got sort of multiple things happening at the moment. We're short on feed with the drought. Then there's a lot of legislative stuff that's coming in with your zero carbon bill, your fresh water bill, and your significant, your biological diversity bill or something. So, I mean, there's a lot of these things that are coming in that farmers are going to have to face, and they come with a huge financial cost too. Recently, we filled out a farm management plan which looked at our nutrient leaching on our property. We're a kg per hectare under our nitrogen leaching. It was good information and a good learning process. But now we're being forced into a consent to farm, which is going to cost us roughly about between $8,000 to $10,000, and it's going to give us no more information and sort of no more insight into what we need to do for future. It's just a straight out cost, which doesn't really help anyone.
Okay.
And there's things like the significant natural areas too that are come in, where the council's gone around and just ring circled a whole heap of what they believe to be natives and all that sort of thing, and then put in very stringent rules and regulations on what you can now do within that land. As farmers, we're not fortune tellers, so I mean we always try to leave our options open, because we never know if we need to put a track through there to improve quad bike safety, or to put a water line in to help our sort of water reticulation, the stock water.
And there's heaps going on, isn't there? Heaps going on, not just the weather, regulations as well, obviously keeping spirits up and your mental health under control as well. Hey, we'll keep an eye on that forecast, Hadley. The rest of New Zealand is thinking about you, and if there's anything that we can do get in touch, right, and I'll spread the word.
No worries. Thank you very much for your time, Jesse.
Cheers. Hadley Boyle, who's a farmer in Hawke's Bay, dealing with a really hideous drought, worst, and they're saying, since 1918.